I'm going to present some of the work that we did in Texas on the BT cottons in field trials. The other people that worked with me are we also did this in New Mexico with Dr. Pierce, but with me, Kate Harrell, David Kearns, David Drake, and Tyler Mays. Let's see if I can get this to work. And this has been quite a popular topic this week, so hopefully I don't fatigue y'all anymore with it. But basically what we did in our test was we took the six commercially available BT traits in cotton, added a non-BT. This is typical of what we've seen in a number of presentations today and yesterday. We did this across Texas and New Mexico. And I will be presenting from the yellow stars that you see there. We had treated and untreated plots in each of these, and if you look at like the South Texas ones, the two southern orange, red stars, in those locations we did not find worm damage, so that's not worthy of being presented. And then the New Mexico one with Dr. Pierce, she's put her data into a poster. I think it's poster number 89 over in the poster session. You can go look at that as well. The other three locations did get worms, and so I'm going to present some of that information, starting with Dr. Kern's stuff in College Station, which he's already shown us this morning. But in his trial, he got some pretty good worm infestation on the non-BT and also in the wide strike. You can see that there. It's interesting to note that, you know, when I'm working with consultants most of the time, and even those low rates of worm infestations and damage that we're seeing in the Bullguard 3, the Wide Strike 3, and the Twin Link, the Twin Link Plus, I'm going to see growers spraying that just because I think more from fear than anything else. But if we take David's data and you look at the yield, then you can really see that, especially on the cottons that have the VIP trait, it's really not valuable so much to be spraying that 2-3% damage, which is, I think, what we've kind of shown out in our 6% damage economic thresholds. It is kind of interesting to see that the Bullguard 2 and the Twin Link varieties did respond to a Prevathon application in College Station. Moving forward to Dr. Drake's stuff up in North Texas in the Commerce area, he also got a reasonable population in his non-BT. His wide strike, you can see the Bullguard 2 and the Twin Link varieties also showed pretty good worm populations. And again, we see some damaged fruit in the VIP traded in cotton. There, his yield did not really bear out, but that's kind of typical of what we see. And you do enough trials, and some of them are just going to kind of show this kind of data, even though. You saw some pretty good worm damage in some of those plots. Moving forward, Tyler Mays did this out in Brownfield. And out there, their worm populations don't tend to get very high. And so you can see on the x-axis, his non-BT had up to 8% damaged fruit. The Twin Link and the Wide Strike were still, I guess, reasonable numbers, but you have to recognize both of those were underneath the economic threshold of 6% damaged fruit. But if we come to yield, we can still see some yield response from the two gene BT cottons. And that's really kind of what we've seen discussed all day today and quite a bit yesterday as well. So, the conclusion on this is our two gene cottons, I don't think this is a shock to anybody, they're not performing at the level that we would expect them to, or we had grown used to seeing them perform, say, 4, 5, 6 years ago. And probably we'll expect more damage in them in the future years, potentially. The challenge with me in having conversations with growers and consultants is, what do you do with that consultant that's finding 3%, 4%, 5% damaged fruit in his VIP cotton? And I think that's going to be kind of a case-by-case basis, and it's going to be interesting because I think most of those fields are going to end up being sprayed by the consultants. But I don't know that they're necessarily going to get a yield response out of that, but, you know, we'll just wait and see, I guess, on that. But I got a lot of time left, and that's all I have to show y'all. Any questions on any of that? Yes, sir.
I'm just wondering if maybe even if you don't show an economic gain from spraying the Bogart tree or Whitestripe tree, would it be useful as a resistance management tool to spray anyway to relieve some of the pressure on that 50?
I don't really work in that world, so I'll let somebody else answer that question, but that's a pretty expensive resistance management. We got plenty of time. Okay, so in the Port Lavaca, Victoria area where I'm at, I've put a trial like this out each of the past, I guess, 3 or 4 years, and about half the time I get worms. The particular field that I chose this year was surrounded by corn, and, perhaps the corn drew it out. I don't know. But we did not, my non-BT that was not treated had at most 2 to 3% damaged fruit. That was the worst week that we saw. If you move right up the coast to the El Campo area, they generally speaking have more of a problem than I have year after year. The field that we put it in just didn't have worms. You go a mile away from there, they were spraying worms in BT cotton. And so it's just kind of one of those where do you put it kind of things. Right. Mm-hmm. But in the absence of worms, all of the BT cottons do really well.
Any more questions?
Very well.
All right, thank you.